Going down to the potter's house, which is our subject. Amen. And our sub subject is when the Lord calls you out, go down to the potter's house. Amen. The word which came to Jeremiah in chapter 18 and 2 from the Lord saying, arise. Now he's given Jeremiah a commandment. Arise and go down to the potter's house where I will cause thee to hear my words. Now this is an illustration of God's power to alter the destiny of a whole nation. Jeremiah used it as a basis for another appeal to the wicked nation to amend their ways. But sadly, it was all in vain. Revelation 19 and 9 says, and as he said unto me, while write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are true sayings of God. You see, we're being called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. But it's a shame, amen, when you look back and you see that many people don't want to eat from this table. Amen. Because they know it's going to cost them something to sit down with the Master. God was pleased to speak to our fathers by the prophets before he spoke to us in these last days by his son. To Elijah, he revealed himself by a small, still voice. To Jacob, by a dream. To Moses, he spoke face to face. There are times when God speaks to us, trying to inspire us to higher heights and deeper depths of life and the knowledge of himself and his son, Jesus Christ. When God spoke to the prophets, he spake to our fathers. None of them wanted to go, or did they want to do what the Lord had called them to do. Usually, when God speaks to us, it's always for a reason. And when he calls us to go through things, we don't want to do it. All for a reason. We don't want to. But when God calls us to go through things, it's all for a reason. I believe that God wants to reveal himself to all of us, not just a chosen few, or not just a chosen few who are strong enough to weather the storm, to those who are endowed with knowledge and understanding, but he wants to do it for all of us. For God to reveal himself to us, he sets before us a metaphorical table, a table we really don't want to eat from. To sit at this table, we got to give up some things in our lives that we don't want to give up. To sit at this table, we have to do some things we don't want to do because we want to do our own thing. To sit at this table, we have to go through some things we don't want to go through. Hallelujah. But blessed be the name of the Lord for his kindness and his mercy. He could just cut us off in the midst of our disobedience. God is kind and he's merciful. I think about the old patriarchs, amen, when God called them, they didn't want to go. Moses, God called him out of the house of Pharaoh to go and lead his people out of bondage. But Moses didn't really want to do this. Amen. Amen. You talk about Jonah. I mean, Jonah, when God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, Jonah was a minister of God. God told him to go one direction, and he turned his back on God and went the other. But he found himself in trouble because he disobeyed God. I find myself still astonished by the fact that God is still the same today, yesterday, and forever. People change, things change, the times we are living in is constantly changing. But God, the God that we serve, he never changes. Now, it doesn't matter who you are, what you were, or what you were yesterday. I just want to let you know that God has a divine purpose for our lives. And there's only two things we can do about it: submit to God and to his will, and turn away from our foolish ways, or we can turn our backs on God and go our own way, as Jonah did. And this is what Israel did as well. This is what Israel had decided to do time and time again. They turned their backs on God, and they found themselves in trouble with God. They spent years in slavery in a strange land because, amen, they decided to turn their backs on God. Glory to God. In my conclusion today, I just want to remind you, when God called Noah, hear me now, he called him out of something in order to bring him into something. You see, when God calls us out, he has a plan for our lives. He wants to take us higher and higher, and not lower and lower. He wants to bring us into something. When God called Abraham out of Ur, he called him out of something to bring him into something. If you didn't know, Abraham, amen, was an idol worshiper. But God saw fit, his mercy covered Abraham and called him out of the land of Ur to lead him to a land that he had promised him, a land of milk and honey. He called him out to bring him into something. When God called Joseph, he called Joseph out of something to bring him into something. You see, God can see way down the road. Joseph went through a lot of things because of his brothers. He even went to prison, amen, after they sold him into slavery in Egypt. And in the process, amen, we need to see that God was calling him out in order to bring him in to something. Make a long story so short, Joseph became second unto Pharaoh in leading the whole nation of Egypt because of God's faithfulness and his divine plan for his life. When God called Moses, he called him out of something to bring him into something. You may recall that Moses was born a Hebrew child, but he was raised in the house of Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of Egypt. Bible says he was raised as a prince. He enjoyed all the whatever what you want to call it, the benefits of being a prince of Egypt. Not only that, Moses was trained in all of the wisdom of Egypt. Amen. Moses was a powerful man in Egypt, but God was calling him out of that so that they can bring him into something. Moses didn't want to go, but he finally humbled himself under the hand of God. And he led the children of Israel who had been in Egypt in slavery for 430 years. God brought them out. Hallelujah. Nicodemus, who was blessed with an outward and divine revelation, well, he was also a ruler of the Jews, a master of Israel, a Sadducee. A Pharisee, when the Lord Jesus told him he must be born again. When the Lord said that to him, he was calling him out of something to bring him into God's divine will for his life. When God called Paul, he called him out of something, a Sadducee, amen, a rabbi of Israel. One of the members of the Sanhedrin, who was, amen, members of the most influential men of Israel. And Paul was a member of this group. But God called him out, amen, to bring him into his divine will. Paul had to be knocked down off his horse. He was so blind, he had to be knocked down and off his horse so that he could see what God's divine will was for his life. Now, if we want God's divine will to be done in our life, we've got to come out, y'all. We've got to come out of some of the mess we're in, out of the mess we're doing to one another. Go down to the potter's house and let the potter reshape and mold us into what he would have us to be. More than once, the potter, amen, had to break down his creation in order to bring it back up to what he would have it to be. I tell you, I'd rather go through what God would have me to go through. Amen. To go through some of the things I have been through because I was running from God. I'd rather go where he sends me, say what he would have me to say. I'd rather lay down my life for him because I know he's the only one who can raise it up again. God is a good God. Amen. But when you see the patterns, you recognize how God works. We can't do anything but allow God's will to be done in our life. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane that night, told his disciples to wait here and I will go further and pray. He told them to pray and watch, watch and pray. And as Jesus was on his knees praying to God, his Father, said to God, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Jesus knew, amen, the bitterness that he had to drink from that cup that God had laid before him in order for him to be and to do what God had called him to do for us. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. You see, he didn't really want to do it. But God was number one in his life. Because he closed that prayer with, nevertheless, Lord, let thine will be done. Can we say that regardless of what we're facing? Lord God, let thine will be done in my life. Amen. I want to thank the Lord for that word. My prayer is that we might want to understand and see what God is doing in our own lives. My prayer, amen, is that we would motivate ourselves by what we've seen, by what we know and understand, and adopt the same saying that Jesus said, nevertheless, Lord, let thine will